Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So Melanie Fiona was telling me, I asked her how old she was, but I won't say her age on the podcast because she probably doesn't want that. But
she's like 20.
But I
we should use that app and see how old the app says I am.
No, that's no, because I've had people use it and then they said that it was a guy when they were really a girl, so I was like, you can't, I feel bad for that. But I was asking Melanie about like when she, because I'm turning 30 in September and I'm already getting the like, oh, I should get my life together, I should find someone to move in with,
conversation blah, blah, blah. We just had
yes right before we came back. So she was saying that there is, what do you call it, the return
of Saturn. And every 28 years, it just basically says that in the universe, like in the way the planets are aligned, that you will go through an evolution every 28 years of self. And so at 28, I always feel like, you know, my friends, all of us at that time were like, yo, what is going on in my life? Like you start thinking about who you are and where you're at, and it starts at 28. So that was kind of right on cue for me. And I remember the first person who told me about that when I was like, I just don't know what's going on. And they're like, have you heard of Saturn's return? And I was like, no. And when I started to research what it was, it really is, and especially for women, men can go through it too for sure, but especially for women, you start to think about like, who am I with? Am I with the right person? Should I be with this person? Where's my career? What am I doing? And you know, whether that's actually just physical or spiritual or whatever, or universal or, you know, cosmic. I think it's usually a good time that people should start thinking about their lives.
Does Saturn does it have like an expiration date?
I will say this, when that started to happen to me at 28, then I was like, all right. And then 2 years later was when the real hit of life hit me. And then after I was like, this again? But it was worse, but it was better.
Because I think about it a lot, and it's not a comfortable conversation that I have with myself. Like, where am I at? Who am I with? What job? Like,
but Melanie's not also your therapist, so like,
I am your therapist. Right,
she's all ready for it.
I don't know like when to not have that conversation with myself. I have it every day.
I also think that guys have that conversation a lot with themselves because guys are so driven by status and their success. Like they monitor like how well they're doing in life based off of where they're at, how much job, like how much money they got, where they're at in their career, or like, you know, and also relationships, sometimes they tend to take a little longer too. So like you're like, well, am I with, and when am I going to be?
Right.
And guys always feel like they're not right for someone until they're ripe.
Is that bad?
No, because
because I don't want to, like sometimes I don't feel right.
It's
and I'm not right.
No, you ain't right. No, I'm joking.
I'm not, no bullshit. Like I feel like sometimes like, oh well, like she's too good.
But that's real. And I think that actually, like, and as a woman, like, there's a lot of times no woman wants to hear a man say, you're too good for me, because we feel like it's a cop out. We feel like it's a cop out. But the reality is,
but you want honesty,
and I will say this from experience, the reality is, most guys are really just being honest.
No, but say that, but don't walk away then. Like, that if we're that good,
I'm not going to walk closer to you.
Well, no,
if we're that good, though, wouldn't you want to get closer?
Like, but you see, that's the difference between, a woman is like, I'm here for you, let's grow together. Exactly. And a guy is like, I am the worst thing that's going to happen to you.
How long are you going
to
be here for me? How long?
Why? So you can leave and come back?
Okay, so no.
As long as you allow room.
Are we going to be honest?
Yeah, we're going to be honest.
Are we going to be honest?
That's the only way we know how to be.
I feel like there are women who I've dealt with, and I felt like mentally I was great, but like financially and career wise, I wasn't shit to my standard.
Yeah.
Right? So then it's like, oh, we have a great time together. You're funny. You're great in bed. Humble brag. And then I'm like, well, no, like, I'm not there yet. Like, right. We want to go out. We want to travel. We want to experience stuff. And I can't provide that. And it's something that it really holds like a cloud over someone's head.
Yeah.
And it hurts because it's like, I don't want to, I put so much effort. I don't want to let her go.
But you're also putting so much pressure on yourself.
That's what men have to do.
That's what men choose to do. They don't have to do it. I think.
You met your match.
I think. No. We're going to do this because I agree. I do think that men feel that way and they take on that role naturally. But I also think that what the role in evolution, not just of men, of women,
right.
The role of evolution is being able to grow with somebody and allow yourself to be flawed with someone and have someone accept you for those flaws, if whatever they are, if they feel their flaws or if you feel their flaws. Because most times we're harder on ourselves than others. Now, however, if it's affecting your ability to be good to someone, not like provide, but be good to them.
Right.
Like, I can't be faithful to you because I'm too caught up in myself.
That's not the conversation.
You know what I mean?
The conversation is, I want to make sure you're good. Because now once we enter that, not union, because union is very a strong word, but once we enter that force field of me taking care of you, it becomes not a burden, it becomes a lot. Like, we were just having this conversation, like me and your manager just having this conversation at the bar. I'm like, yo, when I wake up, what are we eating?
Yes. Men think like that, and that's how a man should think.
Right, but if we're not there and you guys love how we are and you're
getting there. Like, that's where you're getting.
We feel as men, and maybe I speak for all the men in the
world.
And
this is true. I know what you're going to say.
We feel as men that we – and I watch my father do this. Mm-hmm. This is exactly why I have this train of thought. I watch my father take care of my mother for God knows how long. Not to say that my mother wasn't able.
Right.
My father took care of my mother. My father took her on vacation. My father cooked. My father cleaned. My father provided the house, everything.
Yeah.
So when I see someone that I'm interested in and I can't provide, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to deal with.
It is, but it.
I'm holding my heart right now.
Shut up.
But that's real. And most guys don't even know how to identify what that is, the hurt of what that is. So they deflect and they get crazy. And
they wild out for years. Yeah.
It's like, I'm not trying to be settled down. Meanwhile, it's really an internal struggle. If more men, I feel, would communicate that to women, there'd be a greater understanding of how to grow together or just take some time apart and maybe try it again at a different time. Like, let me get my stuff together. You get your stuff together. It's not that I don't love you. I think it's just a conversation. But most men...
Don't say that,
and they're not in tune to be able to acknowledge what that actually is internally.
Right.
So give yourself a round of applause for being able to acknowledge
it.
I applaud you.
Growing
Listen,
up.
This is not a pity party.
No.
I go through a lot of. I have a lot of conversations with myself, and I travel. You know, I travel by myself, so I think a lot. So the thing, and I see my father, and he's done what he's done, and you know, he's provided. He has four daughters, and me, and he's done a lot for all of us and his wives. He has, you know, two wives, but he's done a lot. And he's made sure everyone's taken care of. So, you know, in the position I am, I may be struggling a little bit, but I have I see women that I want to be involved with that I can't provide.
But I really think that
and
that's
the only model I have to go off of is him.
Yeah.
And he provided for everyone.
Well, I was, you know, it's interesting because obviously we're products of our circumstance and like we can't forget what we've learned or seen.
Yeah.
We can only hope if we want to change it, we have the ability to say, okay, well, this is what I want to do different when it's my time. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to Rob Hill Sr. and I don't know if you know. So we were talking, he was sharing a story with me about his son, and he was saying, you know, his son was saying, he was said, come here, young man. And he was like, I don't want to be a man. And he was like, why? And he was like, because being a man, it's hard. And so it was like the impression that he had of what it was to be a man was difficult. And if you think about men in relationships, we put these things on the kids like, well, we have to provide and we have to do this and we have to, which is good in a certain way, but it's also terrifying. Also relationships. Oh man, your mother is this and marriage, don't do it, it's a trap. You know, we plant these seeds and we don't think about how that actually affects a younger generation. It's like, well, no, I have to be single. I have to not do this. So you can't avoid what your circumstance of what you've grown up doing. But I also think at a certain point, you have to then recognize that it's always going to be that way. And you have to decide whether you want to do that alone or you want to do that with someone.
Right.
And I think the only time to know is like when you're at the point when you're really like, I'm ready to let go of what's holding me back from being with you to be with you.
Right.
And then somebody, you fortunately have a partner who is like, yeah, and I'm down for you, and we will grow together, and I will never judge you for the things that you can or cannot do.
It's just so hard.
It is hard. It's got to be so hard to be a man, but it's even harder to be a woman. Try pushing a baby out of your vagina.
I grew up with three sisters, so I get it, but it's just so hard.
I don't know what that's like, but I'll let you know what it is.
Listen, it's so hard to just identify and be like, oh, you're good enough. As a man.
But the thing is that that's real.
It's so hard to say, yo, you're like, for us to say to ourselves, yes. Not to say to you or to whoever, to say to myself, like, yo, you're good enough. Okay, let's go out. And
I've talked to guys who have said, you know, sometimes I just feel like, man, like, I'm not good enough for this girl. Like, I don't feel like I have my stuff together. And they'll actually self-sabotage the relationship, like, on purpose to be like, how can I get out of here? Like, because I don't want to, I'd rather her break up with me than like me, because I'd be crazy to break up with her. But I just feel like if more guys could be as forthcoming about this truth, then more women would know that that's what's going on. Because I've definitely been in a situation where I was like, what's wrong? Like, we're perfect together. And like, what are you talking about? It's you. Don't give me that it's not you, it's me line. But it really is that way for guys sometimes.
Damn.
And then, and you want to know what I learned? You got to let that person go and be like, cool, then go get you together. And when you're ready, come find me. And it worked.
We could sit here all day.
Take a moment.
I'm going to take a moment.
And it worked.
So you previewed a lot of the album, which is called The Wake. And there was one song that you mentioned that was one of your favorites. Is it called Wasting Time?
Killing Time.
Killing Time.
AKA, same thing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
The minute that you played that, I was like, I can't hear this and be drinking because I will drunk text. But
and drunk raspberry's going.
Thanks to Low Key here.
Is that a shot?
So you mentioned that a wait kind of happened while your relationship stopped suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of stuff happened after that. Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned it off, you know, before the podcast, but can you kind of mention what happened for you to come to this album title? That's more than an album title.
Yeah, it's Awake is not just the album. It's really like my way of life. It's the way I think. It's the way I want to live every single day, like physically, obviously waking up every day thankful and just being present for every moment that we have. Because I feel like when I went through hardships and great successes, I really realized that it didn't matter what was going on in between. I was still at the same place. And like, I was more focusing on the negative than I was on the positive. And I needed to change the way I was thinking, speaking, acting, loving, forgiving, all these things. And so after my last relationship, I had to make a decision to really like forgive someone who didn't ask for forgiveness. And I didn't, you know, but I knew I needed to forgive them even though it was really for me. And the minute I made the choice to let go of the anger and the hurt feelings, which takes time, like I remember being like 3 months after I had broken up and I was heartbroken, I was in St. Lucia, like on this beautiful trampoline in the middle of the ocean, and everyone around me is all happy. I've got a show there and I'm all excited. And I'm sitting on this trampoline and I am just heartbroken and I'm sad. And I'm like, all right, God, what else do you have for me? Okay, I've learned my lesson. Can we just get past this, please? I don't want to feel like this anymore. And then everything got worse. And it was like, it was just like the universe being like, yo, you don't get to decide when you're ready to learn. Right. I'm gonna make sure I let you know what more you have to learn. And then, you know, as I was saying off the podcast, is that my voice started to become affected. And that's when I really had to pay attention to what I was carrying, whatever negativity I was carrying in my speech, in my mind, in my thoughts. And it was resting in like my throat and keeping my vocal cords tight, keeping this throat chakra blocked basically. And I had to do a lot of spiritual and emotional work to relieve myself of the negativity, and that included cutting people off, that included, you know, not changing my habits and changing my perspective and my focus in a different way and speaking differently, eating differently. It just became a way of life for me. And once that happened, I started to see the benefits of what it was to become this more peaceful person, accepting person, less tense person, to just try to find the peace in every moment always. And so that's really what happened. And so now, ever since I've done that, everything has kind of been working in my favor, even when it didn't seem like it. It's always worked out. And every time I thought that, you know, it was like, where are you going to do this? And when's the next check? And when's the next opportunity? And what's next? And what's next? And we get so focused on what's next that we forget about what's now. What is happening right now? Because this is what's going to define what's happening next. And so all these amazing things have been happening for me since I started thinking that way. And I'm just in, like, the best place of my life right now. So I really feel like I owe that shift of mentality, that awakening to, like, I owe this, my better self, to that shift.
Does liquor help?
You know what? It can help. I've right. heard. Does I'm not help? Really a big drinker, although no. I will partake in the raspberry when it's on the table.
There it is. There. No, I just sometimes, like, the formal thoughts of just let him bring me the good graces, mm-hmm. right? They get, your patience runs out.
Yes, but that's right? the test.
Your patience runs out. And so today, I'm going to be real with you guys.
Yeah.
So today, my patience has run out. And we talk, me and Erica talk all the time. My patience just ran out, right?
Yep.
So do you ever have those moments where it's just like, fuck, like, I need something that's just going to numb the waiting period?
Yeah.
Do you ever have those moments?
All the time. They happen often. Like, I hit the wall all the time, and I know when it's happening. It's going to come. It's going to come.
Yeah.
And I can feel it happening. When I was on tour with Alicia Keys in 2011, when we came off that tour and we were, like, going. Yeah. It kills me. And everybody's like, yes, Melanie Fiona worldwide, and we're doing it.
Right.
I came off that tour and had to go, and that was in 2011.
Yeah.
And I told my whole team, hold on, I'm not right. I had exhausted myself to intensity where I was – aggressive and angry and, like, really in this, like, weird space of, like, I don't feel good about anything in my life. Right. Like, my health is suffering.
You mentioned the anger. Like, where's the anger? Like, what's...
Was it, like, relationship, or is it work, or is it family?
It's
like,
it's everything. I think it's just the toll that you get taken. And, like, listen, like, I grew up with parents. Like, my mom was really, really strict. And so, like, I love her to death. She's, like, the best person in my life. It was everything. She grew up tough. So, like, it was instilled in me that, like, if things don't go right, you freak out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my mom wasn't the mom that was like, it's okay, honey, you messed up. My mom was like, what the ras is going on? You're grounded for 3 years and don't come and talk to me about nothing. God bless you. I love you, mom, because you're amazing now because you have grandkids, thank God. But, you know, like, it was that, and you learn what you know. And so I started to feel that pressure of, like, being pushed and being pushed and being pushed, and I didn't feel like I could find any breath for myself. And so I hit the wall. So when the smallest thing happened, I had no patience.
Yeah.
I was on edge. I was, like, tense all the time. So that's what I say when I was angry. Like, yeah. I wasn't, like, punching people in the face or anything. Yeah. But I was very intense, and I am an emotionally intense person generally. And so I needed to know when to draw a line. And that's when I had to change my diet, and that's when I became vegetarian, and I was like, all right, remove some of these things that you feel hold you back. And again, it's interesting, and that was long before the awakening. So it's been a process, and what I can appreciate is that at every moment I've gotten a good check. Something has come along that's, like, punched me off my ass and been like, pay attention right now and fix whatever you're doing. And so fortunately I keep getting the opportunity to get it right. Yeah.
Look at that. Listen, I listen to your music. You're very honest, but it comes to a point where I feel like some people are too honest. Do you ever come across that bridge?
Where I feel I'm too honest?
Yeah. Because Killing Time is
can we go back to Killing Time, please?
Killing Time is very fucking honest.
I'm just killing time.
And I don't know if the young man who you were killing time with.
For the listeners, so do you want to explain Killing
yeah,
Time?
It's one of my favorite songs off of Awake. And the song sounds really sweet, but it's really kind of cheeky because I'm talking about the fact that I'm dating someone who is in no way a possible future for me.
That hurts.
But I'm just allowing him to be in my space because I'm sad and I want some company. And,
right.
you know, you might fall in love with me, but I'm definitely not in love with you.
Oh, that hurts.
And it's just real. But I am very much, if you want to say there's a thing about being too honest, I don't think there is. And I have definitely said to someone,
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Listen, like, this is not, it's not going to go further than this is.
How did they
not happy about it.
But at least you know what you're getting. But you, I think that's.
You know, and I think, rarely, unless you're dating a crazy person, do they not kind of feel the vibe that you're not really into them or you're not giving them your best self? Like, they kind of know. And some people will try to love you through that, as we talked about that.
Right.
They will try. But at some point, you have to just do the hard thing and be like, thank you, but no thank you.
As men, yes, we love the challenge.
Yeah, you do.
We love adversity, mm-hmm, right? So when you say I've been that guy where it's like, no,
you,
I don't.
You've been
want
the guy
to.
That chases the yes. girl that tells you that she.
That's
you
every guy.
We feel like you're telling us no, but you're saying no. Try harder.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And it wasn't. It wasn't in that circumstance. It wasn't that. It was
no,
just like, yo, I'm not fucking with
you. It was just like, I'm not. I know you're not right.
Right. Okay.
But we'll take this trip together, because.
But why even?
Because that's just the state.
You're killing time.
Because you're killing time, and that's real. And you don't really recognize it sometimes till after. Like, you're just kind of like, oh, well, maybe this could work. And then you know. I can tell you, in every experience that I've had with somebody who's been in my life, I've known the ones I'm crazy about.
Right.
And I'll know the ones right away where I'm like, okay, I'll see where this can go. I'll give it some time.
Why even indulge?
Well, I'm at that place right now where I'm not indulging
okay,
anymore.
Okay,
that's right. Over.
Okay.
Like that. Like now I'm like, I either really like you or
I'm just
don't
not
like
fucking with you.
At all.
Because I just never understood
at all.
That.
Because my energy and my time is precious to
why
me.
Why indulge? Why kill my time? But my time needs to be lived.
Yes.
Why kill it?
Absolutely. Because that's just what we do as humans.
As
we
women.
Can
try.
No,
as
we get lonely.
Did you say as women? As oh, no, no, okay. No, my friend. Guys are serial time killers.
Yes. I've had my
kill. Ayo, I got
I've had
shoddy,
my
like,
time kilt.
Have you not killed time also? After you were done with
circumstance.
Something?
Oh, wait.
There's, let's talk about the rebound. There's been a rebound chick. There's been.
She knew what it was, though.
But that's the same thing.
But that's what I'm saying.
You tell someone what it is, you're killing time.
You
like
don't
she
know
said she
how to love me,
this
and I've known it for
this goes back to my point of being too honest.
It's no surprise. We just can't seem to get this right. Each time I take 3 steps forward, you fall 3 steps behind.
Okay, that lyric right there.
The line is actually 2 steps forward. You fall 3 steps behind. So I'm not even that far ahead. You still fall behind.
Are you looking for me to 2 step ahead of you? Are you looking?
Yes, I want to be led.
So then we're not. All right. So we're not killing time. So in essence, if you're looking for me to dance with you,
keep up at least.
So then we're not. All right. So it's not a killing time sense then.
It's the fact that you're
not.
Time.
It's the fact that I'm not good enough.
No.
No. And he feels. No. It's a fact. No.
Sounds like a personal problem.
No.
That sounds like.
I'm seeing this young lady.
Yes.
Right. And I was with her all day today and yesterday.
Great.
And I told her I had to go to work tonight. So I was like, all right. She was asleep when I left. So 2 minutes after I left, she texted me. She's like, "Damn, you left me." And I got scared.
Okay.
What does that mean?
she might have just mean you just left. It's just like, damn.
I didn't want to wake her up. I didn't kiss her. I just you know I picks up her place and makes sure.
Oh, you did the French slip. You didn't even leave a note. You didn't leave a post-it note.
I text her. I'm like, look, your work phone is on the charger. I cleaned up. I know how you are about that. I cleaned up for you. I'll be back after I do this and whatever. Before I even sent that, she texted me, damn, you left me.
Before you even sent that?
I was typing it and she sent it to me. What does that mean?
What does that mean? I don't know her personally.
This is your last therapist question.
This is my last question.
I don't know that. I don't know what she meant personally. I feel like it might. She might feel a bit dodged because you left and you and she didn't wake up to the text. So the right thing to do, I would say, if you feel a bit bad for it, might have been to leave a note next to her bed or like make sure she woke up to that message so she didn't have to look for you.
But I was trying to text her.
I understand. It's just wrong timing. Okay. Yeah. Which is a whole other concept on the album. Time.
Timing. Okay.
Timing is everything. Timing.
There's songs about timing?
Timing.
What kind of timing? Like the you didn't meet someone at the right time of your life?
Man, you could meet the right person. You can meet the right person at the wrong time, man. Right. That's a real ass situation. Like, you really can. You know what? I'll say this. And I'm very particular, too. Like, I could say I'm picky, or as you say, somebody might not be good enough.
Yeah.
It's not that anybody's not good enough. I just know that I am a particular person. I do have a standard for myself.
Right.
And there are certain things that need to be fed for me to be invested emotionally into a relationship.
Right.
And I think that the place that I'm at now is not the place that I was at 2 years ago.
Right.
I'm at the place now where the person I'm dating is very much, I'm at that stage where I'm like, I am willing to grow. I am willing to work with someone. And the things that used to bother me don't really bother me anymore.
Right.
Like, you just get to a point where, like, you may just be like, oh, no, that's not important to me. Because there were also parts and relationships that I've been in where I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Now it's not about what I want. It's about what I need. Mm-hmm. Let me make sure. And then I find a guy who fits all the criteria of what I need, but I'm not in love with him.
It's not what you want.
I'm so scared right now.
And so I just feel like you get to a place where then you find someone at the right time that you're willing to be in a great place with them and grow and be flawed and accept them for their flaws and grow together. It is timing. I am so convinced that there's one great lesson I've learned. Timing is everything. Jesus. Is everything. Everything, everything. And even in my last serious relationship where I thought that was the person I was going to marry for sure, families all having dinner together and doing it all of that, it would have never worked because the timing was wrong. It wasn't that we didn't love each other.
So is there still hope, though?
No.
Jeez. It's like
that ship has sailed.
I'm just scared.
Does this person know that this album or some of these songs are about him? Will he know?
Oh, he'll know when he hears a few songs.
You don't mind?
Oh, you didn't.
No, we don't talk.
There you go. There's
nothing to talk about. I just sing about these things.
That's how you let people know.
Yeah.
I appreciate. No, because I'm in a situation right now where I'm just scared. That's all.
Don't be scared.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared.
I feel like there's good scared. There's good.
There is good scared.
I don't like change.
No one likes change.
She's making me eat different things I don't like to
healthier.
Eat. She makes me like read things I don't read.
Better. You're reading.
Yeah, I'm reading. She's just making me do things.
Be a better person is what you're saying.
Are you? But do you feel it's making you better?
Oh, it is. Because I feel like I wake up, I have to read shit that I don't fucking read, and it's like, okay, well, she's gonna ask me about something, so I have to make sure I have to know about it.
But then let's talk about the fact that what that really means is you really care about this girl.
Yes.
We had this conversation before you got here, and I was fighting it.
Don't fight it.
I haven't changed for anyone in a long time. So the fact that she hates that I don't eat what she likes, or she hates that I don't go to places she goes to, it makes me uncomfortable.
Well, no, she wants you to eat healthier and
right,
like,
right.
All
it just
you
makes
eat
me
is Chipotle
uncomfortable.
And
I had Chipotle today; it's bomb.
That's all he eats.
All I eat is buffalo wings and French fries.
Exactly.
But she gets so upset. I hate omelets. And we went to breakfast this morning, and she was like, "Try my omelet." I'm like, "I don't like omelets," and she's like, "Of course you don't."
Let me ask you this.
That comment just makes me upset.
Of course.
That comment makes me upset.
Of course. But let me ask you, is there going to come a point where you're going to start resenting the fact that you did all this change for her?
I don't want to resent anyone.
No, you don't. But I feel like there's also, and I don't know her. God bless her. She could be an amazing woman. I don't know what the situation is, because there's also a point where you or anyone else on the other room would just be like, I don't like omelets. Is that okay? But I'm great to you.
But I say a lot.
But I don't like omelets, and I really don't want to like omelets.
I say a lot of that's, I don't like omelets. I don't like going to fucking museums. I don't like doing all this shit. But I like being around her. Like, I wake up, you okay? You good? Yeah. How's your day? How'd you sleep? Mm-hmm. And I haven't asked anyone that in about a year and a half.
Okay.
Right? So then.
Progress.
But then it's like, I have to like an omelet because I want to make her happy.
But I think there's a line.
I have to like Starbucks. I fucking hate coffee.
But I think there's a line that you cross. I think there's a line to which you say, what am I willing to do to make this person happy? And, right. and truthfully, in a relationship, in a good relationship, there should be no boundaries, right? Right. It should be right. like, I will do anything to make you happy because you are my priority, and this is what I want to. I'm choosing to be committed to you, and so your happiness is my priority.
And I feel like that's where I'm segueing into.
So and that's fine.
And that's but no, just I, so I'm you not, know, yeah. just
you,
scary.
Just so you know, you're allowed to say you don't like omelets.
Yeah,
you're allowed to totally be like.
It's okay if
you
don't like
Starbucks. I don't need
Starbucks
to like the same. It's
like
okay
coffee.
If you don't like it. And I feel like if you just appreciate, I feel like she would appreciate it if you were just like, this is not going to change. Like, if you were smoking cigarettes and drinking soda all day long and she was just like, listen, I don't want to be with somebody who's going to have diabetes in 3 years.
Right.
It's a different conversation. But you don't have to like the same music or like the same food or like, well, I don't know. For me, I got to be with somebody that likes the same food as me because I eat. And if we can't eat together, it's never going to work.
Okay,
that's just the truth.
Now you're killing my confidence.
I'm just saying, this is just for me. This is just for me. I don't know if she's a foodie like I am.
She just killed my confidence.
I need someone to go in on the food situation with me, okay? Right, no boundaries.
And I think it's just also be okay to be yourself also.
And like, that's the key. Being yourself. Because if you start to feel like you're changing too much of yourself where you start to then be unhappy with yourself, that's not going to benefit the relationship.
Okay.
So if it just does start to tip
like
the scale
how I
that
could tell
you don't like
you
omelets, don't. And that's like tipping the scale for you, and now the fact that you don't like omelets means you don't like her, we have
that's
a problem.
Then,
I like her a lot.
That's great. Oh, he likes you.
I like her
a lot. So where are you with love?
I'm in love.
Ooh, look at them cheekbones. Oh, shit.
I'm in love.
See, we've been talking about you this whole time. We've been talking about
no,
her
I'm
and
sorry.
Her being
I,
in
no,
love.
No, I just had to get, I got your manager's perspective. Yep. I got my homegirl, Allie. I got Erica. So I just needed a different, you know.
Okay, so you're in love.
I am in love. And I'm happy with where I'm at. It's great.
Is it? Are we going to hear that on Awake?
Yeah, you're definitely hearing that on Awake.
She's glowing. Yeah. Dude, whoever you are, she's fucking glowing right now.
You know what? It's because we've grown together.
Nice.
And that's a really beautiful thing. And I think that like that's actually humbled me because I think also in this relationship particularly, I've had to learn about myself, not just like what I expect from a partner, but what type of partner am I? Like, what am I willing to do to make the relationship work? Mm. What am I willing to be to make you happy? And I think sometimes we get so focused on I, like, what am I doing and what do I need and what can you give me? But when you flip it and you get to a point where you're like, okay, well, what do I have to offer people other than just being awesome? But, you know, like, what compromises am I willing to make? And, you know, my manager here, like, we talk about this all the time. Mike, to me, is, like, one of the greatest men I've ever met because he holds his family and his wife and that union in such high regard. And I admire that. And I feel like when I'm fortunate enough to have people like that around me to see that, like, it doesn't always go perfect, but you make it work. My parents, you make it work. It's not always going to be perfect, but you make it work. But there is, you know, you have to be willing with someone. And that's what I can say in the difference between my last relationship to now is that I was with someone that wasn't willing to make it work. I was with someone who wasn't willing to be malleable and grow with someone. He was very much set in his ways and saying, this is the way it has to be or it's not happening. And I also was at that place. Well, this is what I need. And if you're not going to give it to me, then it's over. That's why we could never work.
Have you made amends with the previous? Or
I've made amends. Yes, I've made amends.
Solely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I've solely made amends with it. It's fine. There's no bad blood there. He's off doing his thing now. I'm doing my thing. And it's
she's in love, yo.
Yeah,
no,
it's like
no, I mean but like as an artist and you know, as honest as you are and you speak freely about, you know, the stuff that you've been through, do you worry about him hearing the things that you speak on when you guys were together?
Well,
do you worry about that? Or?
I mean, I did Wrong Side of a Love Song, which was like the harshest record most emotional.
I can't listen to that after like
10 p.m. Yeah, Wrong Side of Love Song based off of that. I actually wrote Wrong Side of a Love Song before we broke up. Right. And it was almost like this foreshadowing of like what I was feeling inside. It was like, how did I get her? How did we get here? And a lot of the things that were coming out. And when I shot the video, you know, Lorenz Tate and I, we did it together. And I specifically wanted to take experiences off of what our relationship used to be like. And a lot of those instances that you see in those video and the good side and in the bad side were our relationship on camera. And I know that he saw that.
So he knows it's coming?
He saw it, but that's 3 years ago. And, you know,
it's just always interesting to see how people deal with, you know, bringing their situation to the forefront.
I'm a very private person in general, and I feel like that's something that I cherish very much.
Right.
I never want to give people the room and the opportunity to comment or insert themselves into my relationships ever. So like I'm pretty private and protective of that. So I express myself through my art. It is just what it is.
Right.
It's not to say one person is worse or bad or, you know, better than the other. It's just a form of expression. I could say something about someone. I could write an amazing song about someone in one instance, and 2 weeks later they could be a completely different person.
Right.
Completely free of that, but just how I feel. And as artists, I feel like that's the beautiful thing. We can take a small concept and paint this elaborate picture of really being able to drive a point home and tell that story. So, you know, whether it's love, and more so now than ever, have I been more inspired to write about the positive of love, which is a nice change too. So
you're independent, you're happy, you're glowing, and this seems kind of, you know, corny to ask, but are you happy?
I am so happy.
You're so cute.
I just want to know.
This is what happiness looks like. Really? I am happy. I am genuinely happy. And I've been saying it every day that I'm just so thankful to be in this place. Like, I'm happy. I tell the people that I love around me that I love them and that I'm happy and I'm thankful for these moments and this time, because I don't know what life is going to have in store for me in 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. But I know that I will really cherish this time I'm in right now, because life is filled with ups and downs and it turns and it goes. But I feel like I'm better equipped to handle the bumps now.
Mm.
And I'm really thankful for this place that I'm at, because I truly am happy. And choosing to be happy is also a situation.
Where can you go from here?
Up.
Can you get happier?
Sure.
I think happiness is also perception. Like, you decide.
Let's go happier. Why not?
Because it seems like, you know, you're just a ray of sunshine. It's like, fuck, how can she get happier?
I don't have kids.
Oh.
That could make me happier.
There's babies.
There's seeing traveling. There's traveling. There's seeing different parts of the world. There's eating Shabbat dinner with Mike. There's like, you know, there are things that are, there's happiness at every turn. Like, and that's the goal. Like, that is the goal. Like, happiness is success.
Why would you not want to be happier? Like, I feel like that is like you said, I feel like that's a goal, is
always
to be happier.
It's like the same thing with love. Is like, people get down on love and they get their hearts broken. But the beautiful thing about love is finding it again. Like, that's the joy.
That's euphoric. Euphoric. That's what I use it right?
Yeah. Okay. It's going after it again.
Right.
That's part of it. Like, you fall down, you get your heart broken, but the beautiful thing about love is that you just go right back into it to get it again.
Fuck.
And it's like, damn, I got my heart broken again. Oh, man. But then when you're back in it, you're like, oh, this is amazing.
That's what it felt like, you know? Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's a nice place to be at. It really is.
What do you want people to take away from their awakening?
I want it to be an awakening.
You're not.
I want it to be an album that people listen and feel like they really have gotten, I think, a closer look into who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm so much more confident and secure with who I am as well, as a woman, as an artist, I want people to feel like they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to have songs that they can listen and share and have conversation about and talk about killing time and have you been there?
Drunk
text with the music, you know. I want people to know that you can get strong from your darkest moments. Like, absolutely. Like, it's always darkest before dawn, and that's when you wake up. So every day we wake up, and you can choose to live that as in your present self. And that's what I want people to really get from this album. If they never listen to another song, I at least want them to walk away and be like, man, that album, that title opened me up to a way of thinking I didn't know I could think.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, we'll just start making people a little bit more awake.
Miss Pearly White.
Amen. Should we close? So we should close the episode. Yes.